When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Playing the Mission Card. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Stanza 2 of the hymn Christ is the World's Redeemer, sung by the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. Christ has our host surrounded with clouds of martyrs bright who wave their palms in triumph and fire us for the fight. In the gospel reading for the coming Sunday, according to the one-year lectionary, Jesus promises comfort for this church in the midst of persecution. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be looking forward to Exaudi Sunday, according to the one-year lectionary, with Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. In the first hour of the program, we'll go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, and then we'll talk with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel as he teaches a Sunday school lesson on Esau and Jacob in Genesis chapters 25 and 27. Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and he's director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Peter, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Todd.
Where does this Sunday get its name?
Exaudi, it comes from the introit, as most of these names do. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, alleluia, your face, O Lord, do I seek. So hear is what Exaudi means, and it really answers Rogate Sunday, the sixth Sunday of Easter, where the Lord said to us from the gospel, pray, and now we're saying, hear. So we pray and he hears, and our prayers are based on his promises and he hears, and his name is hallowed when we call out to him according to his word. So Exaudi is that Sunday right after the ascension of our Lord and in anticipation of Pentecost. So you have kind of straddling the fence, I guess you would say, Todd, between the themes of the ascension and then the themes of Pentecost. And so after the ascension, the church looks forward to Pentecost because when Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised the Holy Spirit. And we look forward on this Sunday to Pentecost, to the life of the church in the latter days from Pentecost until the second coming. On Pentecost from Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached, he quoted from the prophet Joel and said that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is what God would do in the latter days. So it is the latter days from the time of Pentecost until Christ's second coming. And so it will be the time of the Spirit. That's what the latter days are noted for, wherein through word and sacrament, the Spirit will testify or bear witness to Christ. So we are in the time of the Spirit now, and Exaudi Sunday anticipates that outpouring of the Spirit upon the apostles on Pentecost, and then the ongoing time of the Spirit from Pentecost until his second coming. So this Sunday is also characterized then, and the period of time of the latter days, by the church as the body of Christ bearing witness to Jesus, and doing so not just with words, which is of course central, but bearing witness to Jesus through suffering, through persecution, through martyrdom, and all for Christ's sake. And in that witnessing to Christ, the Spirit is at work through word and the church's suffering on behalf of the world and at the hands of persecutors to testify to the great martyrdom of Christ by which the entire world was redeemed. So on this Sunday, the work of the Holy Spirit is anticipated as we move from the ascension of our Lord 40 days after Easter to Pentecost 50 days after Easter.
The collect of the day makes reference to the ascension.
It certainly does, and this is one of the rarer collects because it is addressed to the person of the Son. He's called the King of Glory or the Lord of Hosts, whereas most of the collects in the church year are directed to God the Father. And so it reads, O King of Glory, Lord of Hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So you can see how this collect strongly rests upon the wonderful, comforting assertion of the ascension of our Lord that after his humiliation, suffering, and death, God the Father exalted him as the King of Glory and the Lord of Hosts, uplifted him in triumph far above all heavens, giving him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus all should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And the petition of this collect to Jesus says, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth, whom you promised from the Father. It's one of those collects that is so rich in Trinitarian theology, not just in the termination, the full termination, which is always Trinitarian, but in the subject matter and in the petition of the collect itself. So Jesus sends the Holy Spirit, identified as the Spirit of truth, whom he promised to send us from the Father, and the Spirit of truth would bring to us consolation in the latter days of persecution and suffering. And we can pray this collect throughout the church year, and I think it is a great collect to pray when the church is especially experiencing suffering and persecution for the sake of Christ.
The introit is a combination of verses from Psalm 27. How does it read for us?
All from Psalm 27. The antiphon begins where we get our name Exaudi. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, Alleluia. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me, Alleluia. And then the body of the introit. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Teach me your way, O Lord. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. I like to point out when we are praying introits or reading Old Testament lessons, the use of the vocabulary and point out the specifics of a word like Lord. Here, if you were to look at the English translation in the ESV, you would see Lord in all caps. And that's significant because in the Old Testament, hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, he is the one and only God. Lord being Yahweh, the great I Am, the eternal God of the promise of salvation that appeared to Moses at the burning bush. When the church in the New Testament declares of Jesus that Jesus is Lord, it is making that identification that he is the eternal God of the promise of salvation revealed to Moses at the burning bush. He spoke to Moses from the burning bush. And this is not to the exclusion of God the Father or God the Son, but it clearly identifies that Jesus is Lord. He is Yahweh. He is the great I Am. Before Abraham was, I Am. So this introit in that vein is, you might say, addressed to the Son. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. So if you think about all of the catechesis that we have heard thus far in the gospel readings throughout Eastertide from Jesus, we are now on this Sunday where we say, hear us, O Lord, hear. We are addressing Jesus according to the very promises that he has given to us. And that's how his name is hallowed among us. When his word is taught in its truth and purity, and then we as the children of God also cry out to him on the basis of his word and then lead holy lives according to his word. That would be one of the catechism connections for this particular Sunday under the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. And another one, of course, would be the third article of the Creed, which is not only for this Sunday, the work of the Holy Spirit, but of course for Pentecost. So, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, your face, Lord, do I seek. We desire to see the face of Jesus, which we do in the pure and comforting proclamation of the gospel. And then of our Lord Jesus, the introit declares from Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Think about Jesus in John's gospel. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So to call the Lord my light and my salvation makes perfect sense. And then the Lord is the stronghold of my life. There you get the idea of a fortress, that as we are attacked and beset on every side by the enemies of our faith from devil, world, and flesh, the Lord Jesus himself is our stronghold. And therefore, of whom shall I be afraid? You know, if we are in Christ and he is in us, we have nothing to fear. So then the intro, teach me your way, O Lord. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. So the will of the adversaries of the church that are set against us, those who persecute Christians, are out to destroy faith in Christ. And so the introit prays to the Lord Jesus against these enemies. And the introit understands that the church, joined to Christ, seeks him who is our light, seeks him who is our salvation, our stronghold under the cross of persecution, so that we do not fear. And knowing that the introit comes always after the declaration of grace or after the absolution given by the pastor, that's where we find our stronghold, isn't it? Embedded in that free and unconditional word of grace in the absolution.
The Alleluia verse is a combination of a liturgical text that is a non-biblical text and a biblical text.
Yes, also from John's gospel. So you've got God reigns over the nations, God sits on his holy throne, Alleluia. That's ascension language, isn't it? I will not leave you orphans, I am going away, and I will come to you, and your hearts will rejoice, Alleluia, from John chapter 14 and 15. I will not leave you orphans. So, on the basis of Christ's ascension reign at the right hand of God the Father, we sing, Alleluia, and we sing his promise, I will not leave you orphans. That's what he said to us. I will come to you. That's what he said to us. And your hearts will rejoice. That's what he said to us. Alleluia, alleluia. And so here again, this Alleluia verse bridges the triumphant themes of the ascension and carries that into the promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost and for the life of the church in these latter days. And as such, then, it anticipates so beautifully Jesus' catechesis on the Spirit and on martyrdom and the witnessing to Christ in the gospel for the day.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. He's director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary. The seventh Sunday of Easter, Ex Audi, we'll go to the gospel reading in John chapters 15 and 16 next. How do you respond to the assertion, I like Jesus, but I'm not sure about the church? Find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Gathered by Christ, the Overlooked Gift of the Church. Learn more about this new resource at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Gathered by Christ, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
After the Making the Case conference, join the Concordia Catechetical Academy at Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, for our annual symposium on catechesis, Christ and the Law, Catechesis on the Ten Commandments, with Dr. Aaron Moldenauer, Pastor Rick Stuckwish, Pastor Bernell Eckhart, Pastor Carl Fabritius, Pastor Rolf Preuss, and myself, Peter Bender, June 21st through the 23rd. Learn more at peacesussex.org. peacessex.org.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Our Lord Jesus Christ may have ascended, but you can find Him at Lutheran Church of the Ascension in Atlanta, where He is ever present in His Word and sacraments. Join us for the Divine Service on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Bible study at 9 a.m. Ascension is a distinctively confessional Lutheran church located in the Buckhead neighborhood of Atlanta, Georgia. Visit us on the web at ascension-lcms.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. We're looking forward to Sunday morning according to the one-year lectionary. The gospel reading is from John chapters 15 and 16, where Jesus promises comfort of the Holy Spirit in the midst of persecution.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with Me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor Me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you." This is the gospel of the Lord. The Holy Spirit, the Paraclete in the Greek, translated here in the ESV as the Helper. That word is so rich in meaning, referencing the Holy Spirit, because it means that He is the Helper, He is the Counselor, He counsels us with the truth of God's Word. He is the Comforter, who by the word of the gospel gives comfort to our troubled consciences, to our grieving hearts, gives us the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding under this attack from the evil one and in this veil of tears. He is the Encourager. So all of those things are embedded in this word Paraclete, Helper, Counselor, Comforter, Encourager. Jesus refers to Him as the Spirit of Truth. And I love all of these different names and references to the Holy Spirit, Todd, because it really fleshes out for us in Jesus' catechesis the fullness of the Holy Spirit's work. So I had mentioned Catechism Connections and the third article of the Creed. And in the third article of the Creed, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting." Or if you take the third article of the Nicene Creed, especially these words, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified." You take those assertions in the Creed, and you can see how they rest upon this idea of the Spirit as the Paraclete and the Spirit of Truth. So the Small Catechism, its explanation, what does it say? It says, "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, called me to faith, called me by the gospel, enlightened and sanctified me with His gifts, called me by the gospel, enlightened and sanctified me with His gifts. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And so there you see really the underlayment of Luther's description, the idea of the Holy Spirit as helper, as counselor, as comforter. And by the holy word of the gospel, by the absolution, by the word of peace, by the testimony of truth in the promises of Jesus in the sacraments, the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, counsels us, comforts us, encourages us. So the Spirit of truth indicates that the Holy Spirit works through word. It is the word of Christ that is at the heart of preaching. It's the word of Christ that is at the heart of the sacraments. You can also see in this catechesis of Jesus, and we're anticipating the celebration of the outpouring of the Spirit on Pentecost, the divinity of the Holy Spirit. Confessed by Jesus, who is the Son of God who sends the Spirit and who describes the Holy Spirit as the one who proceeds from the Father. So in John's Gospel, perhaps like nowhere else in all of Scripture, from chapter 13 through chapter 17 in that upper room catechesis, you have the full and rich catechesis and theology of the Holy Spirit given by Jesus himself, wherein the Holy Spirit is described as a person, just as the Son and the Father are persons, that the Holy Spirit is one of the persons of the Godhead, the blessed and ever-holy Trinity, fully God with the Son and with the Father. So all of those emphases are throughout John 13 through 17, and Jesus centers on them here in Exaudi Gospel. There's another important word that appears in the Greek, Todd, but it is translated variously in English, and that is the word martyr. Forms of that in the Greek, you easily see the word martyr in it, and it's the word witness or testify in the English. So the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. The word martyr is in there. You also will bear witness. The word martyr is in there. You will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And so that's an important word here. It means witness, but it is where we get our English word martyr, where a Christian is put to death precisely because of his confession of faith in the Lord Jesus. So we can say that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of martyrdom. Now look at this lovely connection. Jesus was anointed with the Spirit of God at his baptism, as you and I are anointed with the Spirit at our baptism. The Holy Spirit is always the Spirit of Christ. When Jesus is martyred upon the cross, he gives up the Spirit, and in his suffering and death, he is bearing witness in his martyrdom to the love of God, the grace of God for all of sinful humanity. So also, his apostles and the church that follows in his train bears witness, this martyria, because we have been anointed with the Spirit of Jesus and the Spirit of martyrdom, and by the strength of the Holy Spirit, through the testimony of the word of truth, we remain faithful unto death, and in our martyrdom, in our persecution for Jesus' sake, are bearing witness to him who was persecuted and martyred for the salvation of the world. So I think that is an extremely important point to emphasize in the gospel for Exaudi. And that helps explain what is being talked about in the English translation, keep you from falling away in the face of persecution, that it's the Holy Spirit who keeps us from falling away to keep you from being scandalized by persecution. And that's another word that doesn't appear in the English, scandalized, but it is in the Greek. It's where we get the English word scandalized, to stumble or to fall away. is how the word scandalized was translated from the Greek into English. And the scandal that we're tempted to stumble over is the scandal of the cross, you know, the scandal of persecution and suffering. And so that's what the disciples stumbled over when Jesus was arrested and then nailed to the cross. They stumbled or were scandalized by his suffering. And so Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who through the word of the gospel will bear witness to Christ's suffering and death for our salvation in the gospel, so that when suffering and the threat of martyrdom comes upon us, we do not stumble or we are not scandalized by it. Jesus says, "The time will come that whoever puts you out of the synagogue or kills you will think that he is offering service to God." It's interesting, here again, put you out of the synagogue. The word there literally is excommunicate you from the synagogue. And I find it so very fascinating, and sometimes we miss this as Christians, that when Jesus was arrested, he was arrested by the soldiers of the high priest, the temple guard. It was the high priest, the religious establishment, the Old Testament church, that brought Jesus to Pilate to be put to death. And so you could say it this way from a human standpoint: Jesus would not have been persecuted and martyred if it were not for the Old Testament church rejecting him. In other words, the Romans would not have taken it upon themselves to have crucified Jesus. He was brought by the religious establishment of his day. And so also, the time will come that those who kill you or put you out of the synagogue will think they're offering service to God. Think about the opposition to the prophets in the Old Testament came from within Israel, within Judah, and at the time of Jesus, within the Jewish establishment. And unfortunately, all too often today, persecution and even the threat of martyrdom or canceling, to be maybe more politically correct, comes not from only outside the church sources, but even from within the church and from those who ought to know better, just as the high priests ought to have known better. So in this gospel for the day, persecution and martyrdom comes from those who do not know the Father or the Son. And Jesus told the apostles that in advance, and through their witness here in the Gospel of John, we are told what we're going to face in these latter days so that we don't stumble and we're not afraid. So he tells us these things that when the hour comes, we may remember his words and be strengthened by his words to endure and to actually even see the blessing in persecution when God permits it to come. I'm struck by the idea that here again, in the original, when the hour has come, in John's gospel, the hour always refers to the cross. So when the cross comes upon us, we should remember how the cross came upon Jesus and that it was for the world's greatest good. And if God permits the cross to come into our lives, then he intends it to serve our good, and not our good only, but through the persecution that the church endures, to bear witness by both word and the actions that we experience to the suffering and death of Christ and his love for all of humanity.
We'll be looking at the Old Testament reading in Ezekiel 36 for the upcoming Exaudi Sunday as we look forward to Sunday morning with Pastor Peter Bender. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Keep you.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the word of Christ dwell richly in you.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Have you ever visited Latin or South America, and while you were there, wanted to find a Lutheran church in which you could worship and receive the Lord's Supper? Did you know that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has many partner churches in Latin and South America? In the May issue of the Lutheran Witness, we walk you through a brief history of our partners in the region. Subscribe to learn more and get a copy of Made and Marked by Christ, our May issue. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe or witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
At times of confession in church history, faithful Christians have been persecuted, both by unbelievers and by religious authorities of their day for the sake of the gospel. When we attempt to gloss over the theological differences that underlie various church traditions, how humbling it is to remember that our brothers and sisters in Christ were willing to die for some of those doctrines. That's from the Issues Etc., Book of the Month for May, Gathered by Christ, the Overlooked Gift of the Church. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Gathered by Christ, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, with Pastor Peter Bender. Peter, we come to the Old Testament reading. This is in Ezekiel chapter 36. How does it read and how does it fit in here?
Let's read it. It's talking about the wonderful and comforting portrait of what the Lord will do through the ministry of the Holy Spirit throughout the latter days, from Pentecost to his second coming. Say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations, and gather you from all the countries, and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my laws. You shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. This is the word of the Lord. Todd, there's kind of two major focal points to this Old Testament reading. In the first half of the reading, the Lord talks about his holy name. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name. How does he do this? Well, his name was attacked in the Old Testament as the prophets were rejected and as idolatrous worship was brought into Israel and into the temple of the Lord. But I will vindicate my name. That was a form of both rejection and persecution, certainly in the case of the martyrs and the remnant faithful in the Old Testament. But the placing of his name upon the holy place, upon the temple in the Old Testament, and upon his people in the Old Testament is parallel to the placing of the name of the Lord Jesus upon us. That the holy name of Jesus is placed upon his church and upon every baptized Christian. And he will vindicate his name in us, whom he has called by his name. And he will vindicate that name. And though the enemies of the Lord try to destroy and profane that name as they persecute and martyr Christians, nevertheless, through you, he says, I will vindicate my holiness before their eyes. Which is kind of a way of saying that all of the holy martyrs, since the Old Testament time, through the time of the apostles, and to the present day, God is vindicating the holy name of Jesus as they faithfully suffer even unto death and bear witness to him as Stephen did when he was stoned to death. The second half of this prophecy is describing the work of the Holy Spirit that we already talked about somewhat with respect to the third article explanation in the Small Catechism, that the Holy Spirit is the one who calls us and gathers us and enlightens us and sanctifies us. And you cannot help but see the beginning of that work in the call of the gospel in this Old Testament reading. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all countries. I mean, if that doesn't bespeak the call of the gospel that gathers all of the nations into Christ's holy church, I don't know what Old Testament referent does. And then to baptism, which is where that call of the gospel leads. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. From all your uncleannesses and from all your idols, I will cleanse you. So through the washing of water and the word, he cleanses us. We can't help but think in this Ezekiel Old Testament reading of the beginning of Jesus' catechesis on the Holy Spirit, where he washed the disciples' feet, a clear reference to their ongoing need of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. They were bathed and cleansed in baptism, and yet the ongoing cleansing of the Spirit, where they're taken back to the waters of baptism, so to speak, and continually renewed by Christ's absolution. And the result of this, so baptism and the word of absolution, is this: I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone. That's a lifeless heart without the life of God. And give you a heart of flesh. Here, flesh does not mean flesh in the sense of St. Paul's use of flesh for the sinful flesh, but one that beats with the living breath and life and blood of the Son of God himself. So I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. There's the sanctifying work of the Spirit and what the Catechism talks about, bringing forth the good fruits. You shall be my people. I will be your God. So it begins and ends kind of the same place. I put my name upon you. I will vindicate my name. I will make of you my people. I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart. And then you shall be my people, and I will be your God. So the prophet Ezekiel here gives this wonderful and comforting portrait of what the Lord will do through the ministry of the Holy Spirit throughout the latter days, vindicating his name, gathering in the nations, a new heart, a new spirit, that the church and each individual Christian is a glorious temple of the Holy Spirit, who is always the Spirit of Christ, who abides with us and who takes of what is Jesus and declares it to us, that we might remain steadfast.
The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 4, some selected verses there. How does that read?
1 Peter 4, 7 through 14, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. This is the word of the Lord. So, Peter's catechesis, Todd, connects directly to the Holy Gospel for the day as a word of encouragement to the church in times of persecution and martyrdom. It speaks of the generous and forgiving Spirit of Christ that is to characterize the church and the life of Christians in these latter days of persecution. The latter days is queued up by the end of all things is at hand at the very first verse of this Sunday's epistle. We think of Peter on Pentecost, who quotes Joel. I mentioned that earlier. These are the latter days when I will pour out my Spirit. So he describes here what characterizes the church and the life of the church and of Christians in the latter days. There is a hospitality and a generosity without grumbling that is directed toward one another within the church. It's so easy under the strain and struggle and pressures of life that brothers and sisters in Christ become upset and angry with each other and short-tempered. So Peter encourages us to walk in the way of the gospel because love covers a multitude of sins. That begins first in the household of God, and then it also is what we demonstrate to the world at large. This epistle speaks of fidelity in one's calling, whereby we are called to glorify God through Jesus Christ in all that we do, whoever we are in the church, whatever gift God has given. Use it to serve one another as good stewards, whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In this sense, Peter sort of echoes what Paul talks about in Corinthians about not all have the same gifts or not all parts of the body are the same, yet they all work together for the greater good out of faith in Christ and love for one another and love for the fallen and unbelieving world. This epistle speaks of the importance of recognizing that persecution is the fiery trial. Here, Peter picks up on themes he introduced in the first chapter of this epistle, 1 Peter chapter 1, where he talked about faith being tried under the fire of persecution and refined there. So the fiery trial ought not to be thought of as surprising or a strange thing. Why? Because we belong to Christ. He suffered. He was martyred. It ought not to be strange when we, and especially those who confess and preach the gospel, suffer the same things because we belong to Christ, who suffered these things at the hands of those who rejected the grace of God that he preached. So in this epistle, we are called to finally rejoice and see such suffering as both a sign that we belong to Christ. And so in that sense, there's comfort there. And as a means by which we bear witness, martyria, to Jesus. And I think one can see, if we're familiar with the New Testament, Peter echoing words from the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So in this sense, persecution, suffering, martyrdom serves the greater good of providing, ironically, paradoxically, comfort to the church and Christians, and also a faithful witness of God's love to the world and to those who persecute us.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. When we come back with him, as we look forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, we'll get his summary of the coming Sunday in terms of long gospel. When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Playing the Mission Card. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod cares deeply for those who protect our nation. Are you or a loved one currently serving? Ministry to the Armed Forces would like to help. We provide devotional literature to encourage faith. Send your mailing address to lcmschaps@lcms.org or call us at 314-996-1337. Those in uniform are comforted with Psalm 28. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and He helps me.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press award-winning Latin programs have successfully taught hundreds of thousands of students across the world. Their easy-to-use, step-by-step Latin curriculum provides students with an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and strong critical thinking skills. If you're interested in learning more, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next purchase by using the coupon code LPR23. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
They've met with the pastor week after week. He's taught them our precepts and Christ Jesus to seek. He shared the law of our God, which we strive to keep, the prayers, the creeds, and the sacraments deep. Now these young saints are right to partake in Christ's body and blood, all for his sake. A gift you are seeking to commemorate this? Ad Crucem has just what you won't want to miss. We've got icons, art, ornaments, jewelry, and more, greeting cards, crucifixes, posters, gifts galore. Your catechized friend will love what you give and treasure the gift all the days that they live.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy is our guest as we look forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, the seventh Sunday of Easter, ex Audi. How would you summarize this coming Sunday in terms of a long gospel?
Our malady to which the law must be addressed, I would say four things. Number one, our failure to trust in the work of the Holy Spirit, to have confidence in it, have confidence in the gospel, confidence in the Word of God, confidence in the sacraments. Number two, fear in the face of persecution. Not a holy fear, but a kind of fear that despairs, the fear of hopelessness that we are sometimes tempted to. Number three, the temptation to believe that Christ has abandoned us because of persecution, or that persecution must be avoided at all costs, and that that is the greatest good. Sometimes, when we avoid persecution that is necessary, we do so at our own peril, compromising our faith, setting aside the very word of truth for which we ought to be willing to suffer everything, even death. And number four, I think every pastor will need to come to terms with how he and his congregation are tempted to profane the name of Christ. And the profaning of Christ's name always takes us back to the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, Hallowed be thy name. God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we as the children of God also lead holy lives according to us. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But whoever teaches or lives contrary to God's word profanes the name of God among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father. And so the wise pastor and the discerning pastor will look for those ways in which he and his congregation are tempted to the profaning of God's name. Unique gospel. I'll make 4 points briefly, and we've already highlighted this, but number one, the promise of Jesus to send the Holy Spirit guarantees the preservation of the church under persecution. What a wonderful promise. The promise of the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, guarantees the preservation of the church under persecution, which means the creation and preservation of the church is a miracle of God. Number two, the promise in persecution that Christ will not leave us orphans. We're not alone. We're not abandoned. An orphan is someone whose parents have died. Jesus died, but he rose again. And he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. By his word and spirit in these latter days, he abides with us in every corner of the globe, wherever his Christians are, wherever his sacraments are administered, wherever his word is preached. He will not leave us orphans. Number three, the promise of Jesus that persecution testifies that we belong to him whose very martyrdom won our salvation. And I just talked about this with respect to the epistle for the day, and also Jesus' catechesis in the gospel. But persecution is intended to be of comfort to us. And when Peter and John left the temple after they were imprisoned, flogged, ordered not to preach in Jesus' name ever again, they rejoiced when they left the temple that they were counted worthy to suffer persecution for his sake. So rather than despair, they saw this persecution as a source of comfort and its own testimony that they belong to Christ. And finally, number four, Christ hallows his name among us, and he gives us his Spirit through his transforming word, the precious gospel, when he speaks forgiveness, mercy, and grace to us, and that we can depend on.
With a couple minutes here, what would you say about the hymn of the day, Christ is the World's Redeemer?
Yeah, the tune has a very militaristic flavor. Christ is the world's redeemer, the lover of the pure. So here it's talking about Christ, the world redeemer, the lover of the pure, but the melody is so sturdy and so strong with militaristic fervor. But listen to the language. The weapons with which we fight against devil, world, flesh, and our persecutors are not earthly weapons, but the weapons of the Spirit. So Christ is the world's redeemer, the lover of the pure, the font of heavenly wisdom, our trust and hope secure, the armor of his soldiers, the Lord of earth and sky, our health while we are living, our life when we shall die. Christ has our hosts surrounded with clouds of martyrs bright who wave their palms in triumph and fire us for the fight. Then Christ the cross ascended to save the world undone, and suffering for the sinful our full redemption won. Down through the realm of darkness he strode in victory, and at the hour appointed he rose triumphantly, and now to heaven ascended he sits upon the throne, whence he had ne'er departed, his Father's and his own. Glory to God the Father, the unbegotten one. All honor be to Jesus, his sole begotten Son, and to the Holy Spirit, the perfect Trinity. Let all the worlds give answer, Amen, so let it be. So those are my words, Todd, to give you the words of that hymn. What a great hymn of encouragement for the church under persecution and suffering.
Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Peter, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
In hour two of Issues Etc., we'll start off going through listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line. Then we'll teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel on Esau and Jacob in Genesis 25 and 27.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Lutheran Talk.
The cause of our salvation doesn't lie within us, but instead it lies outside of us, namely in the mercy of our God who sends His Son to live and die and rise again for us.
Lutheran music. Listen anytime, anywhere with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.